All right. Welcome everyone to the VC Verifiable Credentials API call. This is May 10th, 2022. I'll go ahead and put our agenda in here. So on the call today, or on the agenda today rather, we have agenda review, introductions, relevant community updates. Then we will talk a bit about the VCEDU call and how we might be able to support interoperability for the VCEDU work item in CCG, and of course broader ecosystem interoperability. We'll talk a bit about the interoperability test suites that were announced 2 weeks ago. Provide some, you know, background on those. Then we'll just start going into issue processing. The main one, being something that is holding us up a bit on, interoperability testing when it comes to issuing credentials. Hopefully that'll be a quick one to address. And then we've got some, OAuth, scopes, and, RAR discussions there, and then any other issues as time permits. Does anyone have any other additions or changes to the agenda? Anything else that they would like to discuss today? Okay. If not, let's go ahead and start off with, give me 1 second, with an agenda review, introductions, and relevant community updates. So, let me put this in here as a topic. So introductions, relevant community updates. So anyone new to the call, I know a couple of people, or note a couple of people that are new. Don't be shy. We're a friendly bunch. If you haven't introduced yourself, to this particular group, please, introduce yourself. Mahesh, please go ahead.
Yeah. My name is, Mahesh Balan, and, I'm new to this group, but have been, active in a few others like the, VCI initiative and so on and so forth. I had the great, fortunate to meet Kerry in the recent IIW, and I'm interested in this whole area of verifiable credentials for learner records. So thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Welcome to the call. We're very happy to have you here. Anyone else new to the call that would like to introduce yourself? Julian, please go ahead.
Yes, hi. So, yeah, I've been... You know, the course, VCEDU, VC, or the main VC, chapter 1-2. And I guess I'm interested around the, what this call discusses, and not, I mean, this, a similar time zone. I'm not in Europe. It's falling on a easier time for me to join. So I'm just gonna see if, there's something relevant for me here. So yeah, thank you for having me.
Wonderful. And welcome to the call. Fantastic questions on the mailing list. Logan, please, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Logan. I work at Matter and been involved in implementing some sort of tech around VCs for a while and kind of getting a bit more involved in the W3C groups. So, yeah, that's me.
Great. Welcome to the call, Logan. Good to see you here. Anyone else would like to introduce themselves? All right. Most of the rest are regulars. All right. That's it for introductions. Welcome again. Let's talk a bit about relevant community updates. As many of you probably heard, the Verifiable Credential 2.0 Working Group Charter is out for review. There was an announcement made on the Credentials Community Group mailing list about that. We have about 27 days-ish left in the vote. If you are a W3C member company, please vote on the charter. After about a month, we'll see where the votes stand, if there are any, you know, formal objections and all that kind of stuff. Hopefully not. And then the working group is expected to start up shortly thereafter. Almost certainly, that means that there will be a face-to-face meeting in Vancouver in September, I believe, at the W3C Technical Plenary. So that's a good time to kind of get together and meet a lot of the people that work in the CCG and things like that. Other items, of course, things that are going on, rebooting the Web of Trust, that workshop, which also has a lot of participation from this community, is around, I think, 2 weeks before that. And then we've got the second IIW of the year happening in November. So three opportunities to go and meet people in the community. Any other announcements that we should be aware of, community happenings? All right. If there are none, we can go to our second item, which is what we can do to support the VCEDU interop initiative that JFF, Jobs for the Future Foundation, just announced. Sharon, would you mind doing like a really quick introduction to the topic? You don't mind?
No problem. I was actually just going to lurk, but I'm glad you brought this up. So my name is Sharon Liu, and I work at an organization called Jobs for the Future, which is a national not-for-profit organization. And we focus on the ways that workforce inequities can be reduced. And we've been thinking a lot about this idea that credentials should demonstrate what individuals can know. And if they can be exchanged more fluidly, then people can potentially access greater opportunities. So we're interested in verifiable credentials from in the context of education and employment records. And we're hoping that like with all of the new interest in digital credentials and alternative credentials, that they can actually be in the VC format so that individuals have more control over them. So we have decided to invest a little bit in sort of building up this infrastructure. We're going to a little bit copy the SVIP Interop Plugfest, but just, I guess, taking smaller steps in this process, hoping that many of the wallet vendors, as well as the other developers of, you know, the learning and employment tech stack will start to take heed and start to build things that align with this. So we are going to take our first baby step, beginning now, and hopefully start by, allowing wallet or request, encouraging wallet developers to be able to receive and display verifiable credentials in the OBV3 format.
Awesome. Thank you, Sharon, for that update. Carrie, Dimitri, would either one of you like to say anything as kind of part of the VCEDU, you know, as chairs there, and how you see kind of coordination around that activity happening?
Sure.
Go ahead, Dimitri.
Okay, so a couple of ways. So the VC Edu Task Force group has volunteered to use the VC Edu mailing list for the cohort discussion, helping the participants make a couple of the technical decisions, such as which issuing protocols we support, which cryptography suites, what the shape of the Open Badges version 3 credential will look like, and some of the rules for the Interop Fest. So that's possibility one. In general, in the VC Edu work, because the group is involved in a number of live pilots, we've very much bumped up against the sort of the limits of VC API, and would love to coordinate both with this group here and the Verifiable Credentials Working Group on a number of the issues, such as display, such as refreshing, reissuing credentials, which this group has done a lot of work on, and so on. So highly recommend anybody who is in this group that is also interested in the educational use case to at very least sign up for the VC Edu mailing list, which is a separate one, and preferably attend the calls. Do you want to add anything, Carrie?
That was great, Dimitri. I think the only thing to add is, well, first of all, I'll put the mailing list in the chat for you, is that let's keep in mind that we're going to try and issue open badges as part of this. And I think what's relevant to this group is the historic knowledge that open badges have primarily been issued to email addresses. And we are looking to try and use DIDs as part of this. So it should be interesting to see how we can make all of this work. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Dimitri. Thank you, Carrie. So that's all great. And I think there's a lot of interest in trying to demonstrate interop. I think, people are signaling that they're very interested in participating, in some degree in this work. So the main, I think, topic that we were going to explore is how can this group, help in that interoperability effort. So for example, we're not necessarily working on wallet. We're definitely not working on display here, right? We are working on some subset of wallet protocols here. Like there's some wallets that do use the VC API as a part of a wallet protocol. So there's that. But I think more, immediately, if there's a verifiable credential that you want to issue and it's an OBV3 format, which is a VC, a valid VC format, we could utilize some of the APIs and protocols that this group is experimenting with, to at least achieve some level of interoperability. So I think maybe we could start off by kind of reviewing what we have today and how it could be applied to the OBV3 spec, and then see if others on the call have ideas about what else could we do? What else could we leverage to help this interoperability plug fest? So let me go ahead and just share my screen really quickly. There was an announcement that went out about, interoperability test suites a bit ago. And so the test suites basically test an issuer. So we have this thing called the issuer API, the verifiable credential issuer API. It is defined. Actually, I should have done this before, but let me see if I can pull up the VC API really quickly. So this is our specification, and in our specification, we have a section on issuing here. And so we have endpoints, protocol endpoints to issue and change the status. And we have endpoints to verify credentials as well, verify credentials and presentations. And the idea here is that these can issue arbitrary verifiable credentials. So like an OBV3 formatted credential, you should be able to plug that into this API in theory, and the various implementations should spit out a valid verifiable credential. This is some of the interoperability work we did for the Silicon Valley Innovation Program utilized these APIs. So if we go back to issuing, and we look at kind of the issuers that we had in SVIP, we've got like 6-7 issuers so far. And these tests are actually run every Sunday. So this is these are active tests. Every week, issuer infrastructure is tested. And every week, you know, we get a fresh read on what's working and what's not in things of that nature. In these test suites are opt in, right? So these organizations here that are listed have opted in to be tested against the test suite. The other organizations have not opted in yet, but we know that they've got some variation of test suite and they'll opt in when they feel the time is right for them. But I think what we can show here is that there's at least interop here. We can show at least two organizations interoping at some level. This is for issuing, verification. This is where we kind of are for verification, although this is a bit misleading. We've got some new failures this week that we're trying to chase down. So all this green makes it look like it's working, but it's not because of these two things, you know, above here. But that's why we have test suites and we do interop testing. So we have test suites for issuing. This one's for verification. We have one for signature suites as well. So testing very specific cryptography suites. And we also have test suites. We did this a while ago. We have test suites for very specific types of credentials. So this was way back in the middle of the pandemic, or in the early days of the pandemic, we put together an N by N test suite to demonstrate that we could do cross issuer verifier interop, for things like a vaccination certificate. Okay, so how can we bring these things to bear for the JFF initiative or just the VCEDU interop initiative? In theory, we could create a test suite like this that does N by N interop testing between multiple issuers and multiple verifiers. That would kind of prove out that at least at the data model level and the cryptography suite level, we've got interop. Right, on the credentials themselves. We could do it on crypto suites. So we've got at least two organizations implementing this crypto suite. And we think a couple of more could pull this library in and demonstrate, you know, broader interop there. And we could, you know, drive this stuff using the issuer and verifier APIs. So we have some tools at our disposal. Now, granted, this doesn't cover the display stuff. It doesn't really cover like wallet protocols at a super high level, unless you use a very, really new kind of bleeding edge, exchanges API that we have in the VC API specification. So we have this, kind of exchange API that lets you exchange credentials back and forth and you can communicate between a wallet and an issuer and a verifier using that. But it's really new and we don't have a test suite for it and all that kind of stuff. So those are just some ideas. I'm wondering if anyone has any thoughts on those ideas. So I don't know. Dimitri, I don't know if you've got any thoughts. Carrie, Marcus, Mike, Logan, any thoughts since y'all implement this layer? Go ahead. Logan, were you in the queue? Sorry. Let me see. No, sorry. No. Thoughts on how we could use this tooling?
I have a couple of thoughts. One is it might be really useful with manual wallet testing. I'm not sure if we could do it in an automated fashion, especially for things like mobile wallets. For web wallets, this you kind of see doing a Puppeteer web driver test suite that actually virtually logs in and clicks buttons in a web-based wallet and does stuff. I think this having a VC API exchange example running on somebody's server would be really, really helpful for people to test against.
Great. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Dimitri. Thoughts on, the data model testing, is that a useful thing? I mean, so I think, Sharon, one of the problems here is like when you do data model testing, there's nothing to look at other than like a green check mark to see that everything failed. Like you can look at the credential here. You can kind of see an N by N matrix, but it doesn't make for a very compelling presentation to non-technologists. So what would that be? Sharon, Carrie, would that be helpful to kind of show at least at the data model level there's interop, or is that not a really a goal for JFF in this first round?
Okay, so this is a really complicated question because obviously you do need to, part of the answer is yes. Like this, it's important for some people to know that there is interoperability on this level. One of the activities that we are hoping to do as part of our PlugFest is we have a number of I think we have confirmed that there will be about 12 state teams present, and we want to do a very quick round of not like a, I guess what we'll call it, it's not really a requirements gathering, but just an AMA on what information do you want from this, just to hear sort of directly from like the perspective, who we consider to be prospective clients of this. I feel like that will help us to inform how future stages of this are designed with respect to the output.
Got it.
So I didn't answer your question, but I'm telling you how I plan to know the answer soon.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, what I'm gathering is we just need to chat with those people, or at least see you will chat with them and try and determine what they're going to be capable of. Is that part of it?
It's part of it. I think what it'll be is we will all collectively talk together and we will ask some very specific questions about how, like, how information should be displayed and what information should be displayed in order for them to make informed decisions.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. And that kind of drives the data that needs to go into that OBB3 thing. Go ahead, Carrie, please.
I just didn't realize you hit the hand. I put you in the queue. That's great. I think to add what Sharon is saying is what we're finding is that people are in various stages of issuing digital credentials and VCs in this space. And so we kind of need to do some information gathering to see, like, you know, where there are some intersections and plan from there. So that's just part of the considerations.
Got it. Is there an OBV3 badge that like is an example badge, like at this point?
Not yet. But we can have one really quickly. And I'm trying to tie some of that up. We do have a context file, that we can use or lean on anyway. But we don't have an example badge, but we will have one in time.
Okay. Great. Go ahead, Andy. You might be muted.
How about that?
Oh, yeah. There we go.
For those of you who don't know, I work at IMS and help work with the project groups on digital credentials, including open badges. There is a simple example inside the draft. It's not an official draft, but a sort of a pre-draft of the OB3.0 standard. And, that example will get, enhanced. It's checked, live because it's using the respect or a fork of respect BC. I think you're probably familiar with that. And so it's, because it has to calculate the signatures on the fly, it's also doing essentially checking the schema of those examples on the fly. So it gets updated every time the schema changes. That is, the example gets updated. It's not particularly, robust right now, and it doesn't have a whole lot of information because I've been trying to avoid, breaking it every time we change the model, but, there is an example there. That was a long answer, but it does, we do have an example.
Okay. That's super helpful. So, you know, with that example, one of the things that we could do is we could fork one of these test suites and, I mean, something simple like the crypto suite test suite, potentially. We'd need to talk with, Andrew Jones and Tashi. They've been doing a lot of the test suite work, but I would imagine that it wouldn't be a ton of work to just fork that and push that, credential in there. Andy, you said you're using Respect VC to do that?
I'm using Respect VC to render it inside the spec document.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're using that tool chain, I mean, it's doing the signature and everything. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So if you're using that tool chain, we already know that it'll work with at least one of the, like Digital Bazaar uses the same libraries in its issuer. So we know it'll work. And I would imagine, that it would probably work with DanubeTech's issuer as well. Marcus, can you think of any reason why we wouldn't be able to kind of throw that kind of example that they have at your infrastructure to issue and verify?
I agree with you. I think it should work. This is Marcus, by the way. Sorry, I didn't introduce myself, and I wasn't able to join the VC though task force call. But we will also be very excited in participating in some way and trying this out. And our implementation is pretty independent, right? It's in Java, and we're always interested in participating in these test suites and plug fests and similar things. So yeah, we'd love to try it out, and I think it should probably work.
Okay, good. Good. Well, I mean, at least that's a base level of kind of interop right there. Just demonstrating two different vendors, you know, issuing OBV3. And so maybe that's where we can focus in the beginning. Let's just issue and verify and just make sure we've got that. And then kind of build from there. So maybe we can, once we get that kind of operational, we can talk about this again about, so what's the wallet protocol look like, right? Or how could we use the VC API exchange stuff in a wallet protocol? That might be the next step. Sharon, Carrie, Dimitri, was that helpful as kind of like a, if that's our target, does that help in some useful way?
And I think it's great. I think this is a great first step. I'm really excited that we have these. Thank you. And, we can talk to the cohort and see, you know, about protocols and things and really gather their opinions on that. But this is the basis of what we really need. So that's awesome, Manu. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Good. Glad that we can do something to help. So let's, wrap a bow on it. On that particular part, I think we've got, something that we can focus on. And once we achieve that, kind of milestone in this group, we can then talk about what the next, you know, milestone looks like. That's that item. Anything else on VCEDU interop or the interoperability test suites before we go on? Actually, it might be useful to let me dwell a little bit more on the VC interop test suites. I did some screen sharing on this. The announcement about it is here. But these experimental test suites exist now. They run on a weekly basis. They are running against a secure key, now Avast's infrastructure. They work against DanubeTech's infrastructure, and they work against Digital Bazaar's infrastructure, meaning that they're being actively called every week against their infrastructure. So when people roll out new capabilities and features and whatever, as long as that endpoint is still there, it will, continue to run against that infrastructure. And it's a good kind of live test, a weekly check-in to make sure that everything we were interoping on last week, we're still interoping on this week. They are very experimental. The test suite's experimental, right? And so, it will change over the next couple of, it'll continue to change, right? Until we lock in the final standard for each one of these, items, which is, it's gonna be a while before we do that. The good news here though is that we're ahead of the curve for once on, testing when it comes to standards. So all the data integrity testing that we're going to have to do in the verifiable credential to working group, we've already got that infrastructure set up. That usually doesn't happen for two years, it happens usually like 18 months after the working group starts. So we're 18 months ahead of schedule there, which is really nice to finally be there after like a decade of not being there. So we're hoping, utilize, that infrastructure to help us get through the standards process a little faster. And one of the side effects is this infrastructure helps us when things like JFF pop up, right? It's infrastructure that we can lean on and utilize, to do interop demonstrations a bit faster. For those of you that were around in the SVIP program, it took a year plus for a really concentrated effort to get there. Whereas now we kind of have these infrastructures that we can, lean on and utilize, when we need to do interop testing. So all that to say, anyone can run their infrastructure. If you implement the VC API, let me go ahead and share my screen here. If you implement the VC API, there is a CCG repository called VC API Test Suite Implementations. We've tried very hard to make this process easy. We expect that there are going to be 10 to 20 to 30 to 50 of these test suites, but there's only one place that you need to register your implementation. And that's here in the VCA test suite API, implementations directory. I'll put a link to that in the chat. And when you register your software, I'll just use us as an example. You provide, kind of the things. You tag your, resolvers and your verifiers and your issuers with the types of tests that you are opting in to test yourself against, right? So VC API is the issuer verifier tests. This one, Edwards Signature 2020, is a crypto suite test. We are working on Status List 2021 for revocation and things like that, and suspension. We're hoping to get that out into the public, soon. And then we also provide ZCAP, authorization or OAuth 2 or no authorization, whatsoever to hit the endpoint. So all that to say that this is the only file that you as an implementer have to modify to, enable new types of testing, for your infrastructure. Okay. So hopefully the other implementers here, see how easy it is to integrate. And if you have any questions, of course, we've got folks that can help you. Andrew here, from our team, and Tashi, can help you if you're having any trouble integrating with the test suites. Any questions, concerns about that before we move on to the next issue? All right. Well, that takes us out of our kind of recap, and then now into the actual issue processing. The first issue up is about the issue credential response, that it does not allow for metadata. So let me go ahead and share my screen again. This is item 4 on the agenda, issue 291. I'll click through to that. So one of the problems that we hit when implementing the VC API test suite is that When you issue a credential, let me find issue credential response in here, and apologies, let me try and hopefully people can read that. Issue credential, issue credential. Okay, so this is the credentials issuance endpoint. And the thing that you get back, you basically post the credential you want to have issued, like an OBV3 credential, and then you will get back this issue credential response. And if we look for issue credential response, it is just a verifiable credential. And that was fine probably in the first year, but the challenge is that we can't return back metadata from the issuance. So you will just get back a verifiable credential that's been digitally signed from the endpoint. But the problem is, like, what happens when you want to attach metadata that doesn't go in the credential? What happens if you want to provide warnings that shouldn't go in the credential? What happens if you want to do debug, information? Marcus, you mentioned that you had done some work here. Would you mind kind of going over that really quickly?
Yes. So I completely agree. This would be useful to be able to return not just a verifiable credential, but also some metadata. I think we have discussed this at some point in this group already a while ago. I don't quite remember what the opinions were or why we didn't implement that in the API specification, but I think it's definitely a good idea. We have done that for a while already in our implementation, so we sort of have a proprietary extension, you could call it like that, where the verifiable credential is returned plus metadata, but I would be very much in favor of standardizing or putting that into the API definition. The way we approached it was similar to what we have in deed resolution. So, when you resolve a deed, then you also have an option if you just want the deed document or the deed document plus metadata. So I see it a little bit similar to that, and in our design we came up with two different buckets of metadata. One that's more about the issuing or the verifying process, and then one additional metadata bucket that would be more about the document or the verifiable credential. But I don't feel strongly about how exactly to name or model that, but very much in favor of adding the ability to return some form of metadata.
Awesome. Thank you, Marcus. That's super helpful. Longley, I'd like your thoughts, on the different buckets. Marcus, I'm wondering if, I'm trying to think of what the PR pull request would end up looking like. The easiest thing would just basically be to say, well, just put it in verifiable credential, and then we can talk about issuer metadata and document metadata. Or we could see if the implementers are happy with just adding issuer metadata and document metadata right now, meaning the PR would have the three outputs that you're talking about here. So if implementers would like to weigh in on this, I'd like to understand, what level of, okayness, there's another word for that, comfort, what level of comfort people have with, implementing these, fields. Go ahead, Longley.
Yeah, so I see this as two steps. I think we should do it that way, so we don't have to work so hard getting consensus on both of them at the same time. So step one is go ahead and make it so that we return verifiable credential underneath that property to allow other properties to be present in the response. And then we can take our time figuring out exactly what other properties we might want to add now or in the future. It's just vital that we we make this first change. Otherwise, we're just going to continue to have more projects and demos and things using the older version that we don't want to have to support.
All right. Thank you. Mike, go ahead.
Thanks. So actually, I think it touches on David's last comment around older versions. So is this change going to impact the API and then therefore the test suites that we just went through? Or do we need versioning before we can do something like this?
That is an excellent question. So yeah, those are excellent questions. I think one of the things we've kind of suggested here is that, this is an experimental API. Anything can change at any point. And that argument has worked in the past, meaning, well, we've changed things and so like the traceability cohort's a good example of this. Traceability cohort is locked to a different version of the VC API than the latest bleeding edge, and they did version it and they put it under a versioned URL. Given that the implementers can opt in to a what's the word? The implementers are the ones that provide the endpoints. And so we could add a tag that's a version tag whenever we make breaking changes to the API as a way of managing it, noting that if we have to version things, it'll slow us down, right? So I guess the big question is, there are a couple of points here, right? So we are not in a position where anyone's said that the API is locked down. It's experimental. We could introduce a versioning tag. The concern there, of course, is that when we do that, all of a sudden we're going to have probably maybe less interoperability over the long term because everyone's going to be locked to different versions. And so we could use it, you know. So anyway, Mike, you're on the queue and Dave's minus one deversioning thing. So
yeah, okay.
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I just wanted to fully agree and acknowledge that this is an experimental API under development and subject to change. And so there shouldn't be, I believe at this time, an expectation of versioning because our versioning would probably run very out of control. I mean, it would probably be closer to versioning by date rather than anything else, but so fully acknowledge that. My concern stems from now that we have a test suite, we need to be free to make changes to the API in order to move it forward. How do we then coordinate this with the test suite, I think is the real question. So it could be things like, I don't know that I have a practical suggestion, but you know, as PRs get accepted, the previous version or, I don't know, 3 months or something that here's where we were, but here's where we're going and companies are catching up. My only concern, the reason why I think it matters is that if a test suite is constantly showing everyone red only because we're making progress on the API, you know, what are we achieving? So that's my concern. I think we need to iterate on the API. I think we need to move it forward. Maybe we need a plan around the test suite to make sure that we're not constantly breaking ourselves. That's all.
Yes. Excellent points. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. I agree with Mike. I think it's important that we get, we have a common understanding of what the test suite is testing and figure out how that works. I think it would be disastrous to introduce some kind of official versioning mechanism into an experimental API at this point in time and would make it that much harder for us to make sure that we're getting implementers on any particular one of those versions. We don't want to say that any of the versions are, you know, when you do versioning, it's sort of like saying, well, any one of these versions, whoever's using them, it's okay to be using that version as part of the official, what we want to become the official standard. And the official standard is going to have one version. So we don't want to bake this concept of different things into that official version and have different people implementing different versions of those. So the test suite should track whatever the latest version of the spec is. And then we'll have to try and address these concerns around that Mike brought up with seeing red X's all the time.
Yeah. Plus one to that. Sorry. I'm getting confused about the queue. Yeah, plus one to that. I was going to suggest, you know, a process that hopefully addresses Mike's concerns and Dave's concerns. So what if our process is when a PR is merged into the specification, there is permission to change the test suite at that point in time. And that will make implementations go red. We can always coordinate on these calls. But it feels like if, as Mike, you said, if we're making progress, we're going to be breaking the tests. And we don't want anyone to really implement the older versions of the APIs because those older versions are not going to be the thing that's standardized, at some point in time. There may come a point though where we do want to basically say, you know what, let's cut a version, like let's say 6 months from now or something like that, right? We say, okay, this is version 0.8 and no one should ever ship this into production, but it's fairly stable, meaning that we have the option of setting a version at some point in the future if, for whatever reason, we just get a slew of objections to a PR where people are like, do not break that. Absolutely no way. Maybe at that point we can you know, talk about versioning again. Go ahead, Dimitri, you're on the queue.
So I absolutely agree with what you said about maybe versionings in the future. For the moment, let's just break the test suites. The only thing I was going to suggest is, so what we're trying to, the reason that breaking the test suites is a problem is we're trying to prevent a change in the spec and then everybody else failing the spec because we changed something fundamental, as such as nesting the credential one more level, like what we're proposing right now. And to address that, it would go a long way to just have an explanatory paragraph at the bottom of the interop test suite result specs that just says, hey, everybody's showing red because on such and such a date, we broke the spec. We made a breaking change to the spec. Right? So just a couple of sentences of explanation will go a long way towards allaying people's fears, I think.
So, and we can do that. I think we have, you know, the templates, all the test suites have templates that allow us to put in, advisory information like that, I believe. So yeah, plus one to that. Okay. So if our process is effectively, we discuss breaking changes here, there are PRs that are put forward. If there are no objections and the PR is merged, the test suite implementers have the go-ahead to change the test suite and break things. And if we see massive breakage across implementations, those test suite implementers need to put a warning to say, hey, things are just temporarily broken because we made a change 2 weeks ago. We expect these tests to go all green. You know, in the next couple of weeks to months, not a big deal. We're on it. If that's our process, which is, everyone evaluates the PR gets merged, the test suite gets changed with warnings, would there be any objections to that being the way we operate and make breaking changes in the specification. Okay. I'm not hearing any objections. Mike's going plus one to text that explains the experimental nature of the API and that implementers have to catch up. Dimitri's plus one-ing. All right. I'm not hearing any objections, so that can be our operating model as well. Longly, the last date pass thing is it might be difficult to implement. We've got to put memory into the test suites to do that, but that's a good idea. We can talk to Andrew and Tashi to see if they would support that. Okay. All right. Great. So then rolling back to the actual issue at hand. Let's see. The new process is raise a PR that makes a breaking change to the VC API. Ensure there are no objections to the breaking change and then merge. If the change breaks, implementations warn in the test suite output that implementations are catching up. The new VC API implement change process breaking changes is do not version yet. Okay. So that's the discussion today. With that in place, is this ready for a PR? Would there be any objections to adding the verification credential thing as the top level item? When you issue a credential, you'll get back a JSON object with verifiable credential at the top layer. That's the first PR that'll be raised. And then Marcus, we can decide to raise these other PRs, on a separate date. We certainly won't make it illegal to do this kind of stuff. So your implementation, Marcus, would be able to continue doing this. All the other implementations would need to catch up and do this thing instead. Any objections to doing that? Okay. So that means that we will create a PR. Next step, create a PR that adds the verifiable credential property to the top level JSON object when issuing a VC. All right, so this needs a ready for PR. And it's assigned to me. I can write that PR. Okay, and I think that's it for the call today. We've got 3 minutes till the top of the hour. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Thank you for helping out with the VCEDU, brainstorming about how we can support the VCEDU folks with the API and for working through this issue. This will make it much easier to suggest potential breaking changes. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of the week. See you next week.